It is a blessing for us to be together at the beginning of this week when we are going to be inspired, we are going to be re-energized, we are going to be reunited, we are going to be recommissioned for the mission that each of us in our respective organizations and apostolates carry out for the kingdom of God. I'm very privileged, as I think most of you know, to lead the Priests for Life organization, and I bring the greetings of our whole team to you here today as we pray together and as we carry out the pro-life mission of the church. You know, that gospel passage that we just heard reminds me of one preacher who proclaimed it, and in the front pew there was an elderly gentleman who cried out as the preacher was talking about the wailing and grinding of teeth. He said, "Pastor, what about us who ain't got no teeth?" And the pastor looked at him and he said, "Brother, on that day, teeth will be provided." But you know the prophecy of Jeremiah that we heard in the first reading, and this clear explanation of Jesus about what will happen at the end of time, tell us something about God, something about the gospel, that we often don't think about. Because we rightly think about the gospel bringing people together in unity. And indeed, the Eucharist that we're about to celebrate, the church teaches, is the source and the summit of the unity, not only of the church, but of the whole human family. And Jesus said, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." And we talk about healing divisions and reconciling those who are at enmity. And so unity, yes, it is at the core of the gospel. It's at the core of our mission. But brothers and sisters, unity and the mission of the gospel can't even be understood unless we also realize that God is the great divider. Look at what he says in this gospel. That at the end, the weeds are collected and burned up with fire. The Son of Man will send his angels and collect out of his kingdom those who cause others to sin, evildoers. They're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. And then the children of the just will shine like the sun in the kingdom. There's a division going on here. But we don't only have to look at the end of history to see God dividing. We go to the beginning, very first words of the scriptures. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then what does it say as the creation story goes on? He separated the light from the darkness. He separated the waters below the heavens from those above the heavens. He separated the day from the night. He had to divide in order to start. And then as salvation history goes on, prophets like Jeremiah, prophets like Elijah. Remember what Elijah said to the people who were trying to claim that they were following God and yet they were embracing sinful practices? He said, "How long are you going to straddle the fence?" One translation of that says, "How long are you going to wobble along with two opinions? If God is God, then serve him. If Baal is God, then serve him. But you must decide. You must get out of the middle. There must be a holy division." And that's what happened. Elijah divided the people in the name of God. And then Jesus Christ came along, fulfillment of all the prophets, and he said, "Don't think that I have come to establish peace. I have come for division. Indeed, a family will be divided right down the middle. Brother-in-law from mother-in-law and father-in-law," and actually, you know, you think of in-laws, you don't need Jesus to divide us. It's easy enough all by itself. But he was making a point, wasn't he, that discipleship demands total loyalty. And brothers and sisters, total loyalty cannot mean anything unless it means disloyalty to evil. There is no such thing as loyalty to good. There's no such thing as embracing virtue unless at the very same time and to the very same extent there is a rejection of sin and a disloyalty and a renunciation of evil in the baptismal rite. You go back in the ancient church. In the baptismal rite, you have a division. Because what do you do first? And you know, at Easter Mass, we always renew the vows of our baptism. It is, if you will, a prophecy of what this gospel talks about, that division at the end of time between the children of the evil one and the children of God. There's a division in the baptismal ceremony, because first, you renounce the devil. And the devil is real. Jesus spoke about him again in this gospel. Pope Francis likes to enunciate that frequently. We're not talking here about a symbol. We're talking about a real person who really hates us and who's trying to obstruct our work and who's trying to discourage us. He's real. And we stand and we renounce him. And in the early church, those who were being baptized, they would face the West and renounce the prince of evil, prince of darkness. And then they return to the East. And then you answer the questions, do you believe in God? Do you believe in Christ? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you believe in the Holy Church? And then the waters of baptism flow over us and separate us from our sins. God is a God of division. Jesus Christ said, you must embrace me, deny yourself. And then, of course, not only in this passage, but in other passages, he talked about the final division at the end of time. When the king will sit upon his royal throne and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. Brothers and sisters, we come together for the Catholic Marketing Network on this day, too, dedicated in the church to remembering a saint who knew all about dividing good from evil, being on the right side of the battle, St. Ignatius of Loyola, raising up an army of followers of Jesus, being on the right side of the battle. There can only be unity when it's on one side of the battle between good and evil, the battle between truth and falsehood, the battle between sin and grace. You can only have unity on one side of that battle. Only by aligning with the good and the true and grace and Christ. And utterly and forever renouncing the opposite. You know, sometimes, and it borders on the blasphemous, really, people who are dismissive of the seriousness of sin will sometimes joke to us and they'll say, yeah, maybe I'm going to hell, but at least all my friends will be there with me. Well, you know, people really shouldn't say that. Hell is no laughing matter. But what they don't realize is if, in fact, God forbid, they do end up in hell, what they don't realize is their friends aren't going to be their friends anymore. Hell is where everybody's an enemy. It's part of the essence of hell. Complete and total alienation, not just from God, but from one another. There's no unity in hell. There's no unity in evil. There's no unity in falsehood. There's only chaos. There's only darkness. There's only isolation. There's only nothingness. And so we come together this week, the Catholic Marketing Network, aware of the divisions in our society, but not saying, oh Lord, deliver us from all division, let's all just unite. There's no such thing as just uniting. It has to start with the way the gospel starts. Let's all repent. And then we can reunite around truth and grace. And we reunite around truth and grace because no matter what kind of divisions there are among us and around us, no matter how things might be falling apart, and when Jeremiah wrote these words that we heard in the first reading, things were falling apart pretty bad. But he said something that we also will reaffirm this week as we come together and learn and encourage each other. He said, Lord, remember your covenant with us and break it not. Someone said to me recently, someone from my staff at Priests for Life who was calling priests around the country to offer them our services and our encouragement. He said, Father, he says, I'm surprised that some of these priests are saying things like, well, we really can't reverse the culture of death, and we really can't stop the evils of people aborting their children and all kinds of other things. And I said, really? I said, well, that's why I have you calling these good men. Because we've got to remind ourselves every day, God does not break his covenant. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We here at this Mass right now, we're going to renew the new and everlasting covenant. He already has the victory. We're not called simply to measure how many people around us are doing the right thing. We're called to reimmerse ourselves in that unbreakable, everlasting covenant, proclaim that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and say we're not just working for victory. St. Ignatius knew this so well. We're not just working for victory. Oh, I hope we can achieve this, and I hope we can do that, and I hope we can overcome this evil and solve that problem. But friends, we're not just working for victory. We're working from victory. Victory is our starting point. It's why we're the church. It's why we're here. It's why we're going to receive the risen Christ right now. Victory is where we start. And that's why we do our mission with an absolutely unshakable and unbreakable confidence. Let's take that as our inspiration from this Mass. Lord, you have not forgotten your covenant. You renew it each day. You renew it right now. And you renew it through our association with each other in this Catholic marketing network. May St. Ignatius pray for us and inspire us with his example. And may the risen Lord who feeds us tonight grant that we may never grow tired, never be discouraged, because God, the great divider, has already divided life from death, sin from grace, truth from falsehood. And brothers and sisters, we can rejoice because we know what side of that great division we are on. May Jesus Christ be praised. Amen.